Good morning.
Morning.
Certainly good to have each one out today. Especially good to have our visitors with us, and we welcome you. The title of the lesson is A Religion Without Compassion, Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. The Jewish religion dominated by the Pharisees was a religion of laws, but there was no compassion in it. In verse 23-24, the circumstances behind the situation here. Verse 23, and it came about that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "See here, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees challenge Jesus directly, and they keep on pressing him. I mean, and they've been dogging him. And he's going through the grain fields, and there's a trail there, and the disciples are hungry, so they're plucking off the heads of the grain and chucking the husk, and they're eating them. And Pharisees, we got you. Not lawful. They didn't say it kindly. They didn't say it softly like I did. And they keep on pressing it, that your disciples are doing what's lawful, and you're letting them do it. And, you know, what is all this about? Well, they developed this oppressive system. In 220 BAD, there had been this persecution against the Jews, and there are very few people left who were knowledgeable about the oral traditions of the Pharisees. So they decided to write them down, 220 AD. And it ended up in a book called the Talmud. And it's a two-part doctrine and interpretation, a commentary. The Talmud had 24 chapters on what you could do and could not do on the Sabbath. 24 chapters. I read that thing. It was about driving me crazy. You know, just to give you an illustration about the circumstance, about what's going on here, I wrote down 13 of them. If a tailor goes out with a needle stuck in his garment, that's work. Well, now he could have done it unintentionally. He probably did. I mean, you're sticking needles in your garment and you're sewing. But you still got to offer a sin offering because you're guilty. Now, if you did it deliberately, you get 40 lashes minus one. 39, because they want to kill you. What if you're a scribe and you take a pen along accidentally? Yeah, same thing. I mean, there were rules. Detailed 800 and so many rules. One thing you couldn't do is you couldn't search for vermin in your garments. Lice. Because you know if you found one, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pop it. That's work. You can't read before a lamp and the light of the lamp. That's work. We're talking about the Sabbath, starting on Friday night at dark till Saturday night at dark. You need the Sabbath lamp there. But if it goes out, you can't relight it. That's work. You can't lead a goat out with a bridle on its horns. Because if the bridle falls off, then you're going to pick it up, and that's work. So I just wrote down 13 out of 800. If one prunes a limb and throws it in the fire, he has to offer two sin offerings. The cutting off the limb is called reaping. The throwing it in the fire was called planting. So they got you both ways. Now, you could have done that unintentionally, you know, or maybe you saw it, and I go through my property, and man, I need to cut that, and I start cutting. Now, what if he forgets it's on the Sabbath? Now, he's guilty. You know, what if he did it deliberately? That's far more serious. If they had dirt floors, and so, you know, dirt gets piled up in some areas, scuffed up. But if you remove that knoll, then that's called building. Yeah, you like working on your house? That's a no-no. If you go outside and, you know, like we have moles that make the furrows up, you stomp it down, that's called plowing. Minute rules, hundreds of them for the Sabbath. Sabbath's supposed to be a day of rest. But to comply with all these rules, it drives you crazy. The one I like best, is if you're drawing water from the well with a rope, that's sin. But if you use your suspenders, it's okay. Oh, they were devious. This stuff wasn't no sin. You know, in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus always hollered, "Woe to you Pharisees, you hypocrites." You know, he had a reason for that. And then a woman could not look in a mirror. You know, she sees one white hair. And she might be tempted, what? That's work. We're talking about the pressure on these people. Jesus said, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls." That's what he's talking about. These people right here. That's just a few of them. It was driving me crazy reading it. I mean, the interpretations of all of that. If you wanted to, there's public and private land. If you wanted to, on Sabbath, you wanted to take something outside, you tell the husband, "Go take that out," he runs out the door. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You have to stand at the doorway, and one of them has to pass it to the other. Or you can't do it. It's maddening. Let me back up in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And the skins as well, but one puts new wine in fresh wineskins." Why is Jesus not going to put the new covenant in the old one? Why is he not going to put it in this wineskin with all of this corruption and domination of the worshipers on the Sabbath? And they're so worried about which did I get caught and what did they get, busted here? Verse 23, "And it came about that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of the grain." Well, that's work. "And the Pharisees were saying to him, 'See here, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath?'" And you know, I'm talking about the environment they lived in, and I'm not going to say this as a funny, okay? Remember Andy Griffith's show in Goober? And Goober would get mad at Barney Fife, the deputy, who was always doing dumb things. And so he'd get mad at Barney, and if he ever caught Barney, he'd sneak around. If Barney did anything wrong, "Citizen arrest! Citizen arrest!" That's what these people are doing. They're following Jesus through the grain fields looking for opportunity to get him breaking the Sabbath. And they got him. You know. And this is it. And then they're ignoring the bigger problem here. Travel. You can only go 3,000 feet on the Sabbath. About a half a mile. 1,999 steps. If you go 2,000, you're guilty. They're not even discussing that. Jesus is walking through a grain field. Where'd he come from? Where'd he go? It's over 3,000 feet. And he don't care. And the Pharisees have been walking over 3,000 feet too, but they're not discussing that. We're discussing why the disciples are eating the grain. Well, you look at verse 25, 26. "And he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and became hungry, he and his companions?'" Jesus ends this nonsense with one statement. "Have you never read?" They're experts in the law of Moses. "Haven't you read?" There is one verse, more than one verse, but 1 Samuel 21. "Did you know what David did? He was in need. He was hungry. King Saul was trying to kill him and his men, and they're fleeing for their life." And Jesus said, "Have you never read? There's a verse in the Old Testament that says this is okay." I mean, they're such scholars, but they don't care what it really says. Verse 26. "And he entered the house of God," David, "in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he gave it also to those who were with him." David went into the house of God and ate the bread off the show table. And that was okay. There's an example of an exception to the law. God's concerned about people who need hunger fulfilled. And David is running for his life, and they would put 2 rows of 6 pieces of bread, loaves of bread, on the show table before God. And the priest got that every time they exchanged it out on Friday, just before the Sabbath started. David ate that bread, and he was okay, because there was a greater need. Well, just go die, David. That's okay. You're not, forget you're going to be the king of Israel, and you know one of your descendants is going to be eternal king. There's exceptions to law. Human need brings about exceptions at time, and here's a verse or a section of verse that says it's okay. You only need one verse. And if you're not careful, you become legalistic and looking at verses, and you've got this position, you don't care what anybody else thinks. And someone points out verses. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just show you a couple examples today in the church. Marriage, divorce. Everybody says Matthew 19 is the only thing you can do. You forget 1 Corinthians 7. Well, we know it's there, but don't bother with it. Even though Paul said, thus I direct in all the churches. You probably need to be paying attention to 1 Corinthians 7 if you're in the church. And the basis of their argument is that everybody's under the law of Christ. That's their bottom line. Let's see if that's right. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 and 21. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Verse 21. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. There's three groups of people in AD 55. The people under the law of Moses. You can still be under the law of Moses today. You're cursed. I mean, there's no statute of limitations under the law. Romans 7:1. It has jurisdiction over as long as you live. So if you're under the law of Moses, you're not under the law of Christ. If you're without law, you're not under any law. So that whole argument is wrong. But you know what I find in discussing that with them people? They won't accept any of that. And here's two verses that said that's wrong. Look at Ephesians 6:18. The big name preachers used to preach that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God was the same. They couldn't be separate. You know, and preachers to come, they just read them books and they just preach what that guy said. They don't think, they're not open, they don't look, there may be some verse that says that's completely wrong. And furthermore, it's the key to the power of God in the New Testament. 6:18, Ephesians 6:18, yeah. I'm getting ahead. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. If you've got a soldier and he's carrying a sword, there is a difference between the soldier and the sword. They're two different things. They're not the same. So my point is making here, be honest about Scripture. Don't become a Pharisee. And you develop these rules and these interpretations, and you've been wrong to start with. And it just gets worse, and you put more guilt on people as it goes along. You know, in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, 28. The true purpose of the Sabbath. Verse 27. And he was saying to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. They have no clue what keeping the Sabbath means. The Sabbath was made to benefit man. It wasn't made to control man with all these absurd interpretations. The Sabbath was given by God to benefit the people. Well, you know, the word means to cease completely. Stop working. Okay? It's a day off. And what's interesting in the Talmud, that book that has the code and has its commentary. But you know what the code defines Sabbath as? The one word? Holiday. In their own code, it says it means holiday. What do you think it means? And they got these people worried about, do they leave a pin in my garment? Don't look in the mirror. I mean, all these hundreds of things. And their life is dominated and pressed by all this, and they can't be free to enjoy the day that God set aside for them. Well, look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 and following. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, there was morning, and the sixth day. God's then created everything out here. Can you imagine the mind? You know, we create software for computers, and they run automatically. Can you imagine the programs that keeps all the nature going, all the things in your body functioning right until you get older? God spent energy speaking that into being, but what? It was orderly, it was total, it was perfect, and he said it's very good. He looked around. That's a good 6 days. He'd been working to create our heavens and earth. You know, he thought that was good at the end of it. Chapter 2, verse 1. And thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the Sabbath from all his work which he had done. He rested. Now, God doesn't need to rest. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. But he's expressing things so you can understand when we get to the law of Moses what the Sabbath means. It's a day of rest from your labor. All these interpretation is about putting more labor on you. Mentally, physically, fear, guilt. God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. I mean, you know, you work hard all week, what? Most people don't take any time off when it comes to the weekend. They just shift gears. It's a day of rest. Stop your work. I mean, most of the time as you're working in the vineyards, you're working in the fields, you're toiling. And now God says, hey, I'm going to give you a command. Take the day off. Now keep it holy. Don't be doing unholy things. You'll be coming defiled or unclean. Take the day off. Now this is it's a type of the Old Testament. God rested. Verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. It's a good day. It's a blessed day. I'm setting it apart for the people where they can think how blessed they are. We sang a song a moment ago. Where they can stop and think about God. They're the people of God. Rather than running on through, yeah, God, okay. Yes, now Sunday, okay. It was a day of rest. It was a day of recuperation. It was a day of joy. Was the intent of it? It wasn't intended to burden them with a bunch of commands they got to worry about every step they take in life that day. And all the commandments were perverted anyway. And there were always loopholes like the politicians, you know, we're going to do away with this. And guess what? 5 years later, man, there were loopholes anybody could have walked through on purpose. That's what these people are doing. These people are living in this world. There's no compassion for people that are hungry. I mean, Jesus and the disciples are going through and up and down these hills and through these grain fields, and it's hot and sweltery. And they're just picking off grain heads and eating them. And, oh, my. They're doing what's unlawful. They need to pay sin offerings. They're doing it on purpose. They need to be beaten. And Jesus says in verse 27, he was saying to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It was given as a command to benefit the people, was its intent. Look at Deuteronomy 23, fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy 23, verse 24 and 25. God cares about the people. The Sabbath law was to benefit the people, to get them to rest, to enjoy life, and get restarted. Notice what 24 and 25 says, Deuteronomy 23. When you enter your neighbor's vineyard, then you may eat grapes until you're fully satisfied. God would make them leave some of the vineyard left, the grapes. Why? So that when people come through traveling, They would have something. They didn't have McDonald's on every corner. You know? God was preparing for people. He cared about the people. He put a law in and says, hey, leave some for people coming through. You notice the end of verse 24? But you shall not put any in your basket. You're not taking it home and canning it now. It's somebody else's work. You're not going to benefit from it. Now, if you're hungry and you need something to get you by, we provide it for you. 25. When you enter your neighbor's standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand. But you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain. You're not profiting from this deal. Keep them sickles out of there if you're hungry. We left the corners of the field. You can enjoy it, need it, and eat it. We're taking care of people's needs because we care is the point. The Pharisees have taken out all the compassion out of the religion in the first century. And you wonder why they killed Jesus? They didn't get there in a week. You know why the people went along with them? Because they had submitted all this stuff so long. You know, wrong. It's wrong if you do this. It's wrong if they do that. And, oh, that Jesus, he claims to be Son of God. That's really wrong. And so they killed him. They didn't look no further. You know? It's okay to do good on the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with doing good anytime. And Jesus points out in other verses, you know, if your ox is in a ditch, what you gonna do? Yeah, money's at stake. We're getting that ox out. We don't care if it's a Sabbath or not. They do things all the time on the Sabbath because it's needed. There's nothing wrong with that. And all these other prohibitions are stopping them from, and it's burdened them down. You know, look at Romans 6. Well, then one more verse, 28. Consequently, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus rules all things, even the Sabbath. You know what he's saying here? You fellows are interpreting this scripture about keeping the Sabbath holy. And you're saying we're determined you can't do anything. I wrote the commandment. I wrote the commandment. I know the intent of the commandment. I'm God. That's what he's saying. I know what the intention of the commandment is. That's why I'm ignoring y'all's junk. It wasn't about taking away all effort in life. There are things that are needed to be done. God is compassionate. They went away from the real intent of the law to benefit the man, not to burden him on the Sabbath. Look at Romans 6:14. Look at Romans 6 verse 3 first. Romans 6 verse 3. The New Testament is totally different from the Old Testament. There are no day laws. There are no food laws. 1 Corinthians 8:8, Galatians chapter 4, 8 through 11, 12. There are no food laws. There are no day laws. There's no working to somehow get to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Purpose of baptism is forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38. But it's giving you new opportunity to walk in newness of life. It has nothing to do with that Old Testament system anymore. You have the life of God within. You just need to let it work. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do all in the name of Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. You are saved. You've been baptized. You've been raised with Him. You're one with Him. Life is a beautiful thing with Jesus. That joy and the rest. Look at Romans 6:14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law but under grace. In the church, we kind of trying to put the people back under law. And then we interpret the laws we make. Now, this church is kind of odd because you meet at 9:15. Y'all been wrong for so many years. Somebody said, hey, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock, and it's 7:30 on Wednesday. It's the scriptural time. It's just an instrument to use to get everybody together, which is, you know, convenient. Wasn't law, but it was law for a long time. You know, we're not under law. We're under grace. We're not seeking to be right with God when we pray
and we pray within His will, He extends favor without us having to earn it. Because our faith is in Jesus Christ who died for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, and we're believers in that, and that has benefit before God every minute of every day of every year. We're under grace. Sure you fail. Sure you do wrong. Our goal is not, I'm looking around the corner, I'm looking at Roger and see if this is the day he does. You know? We're under the grace of God. If you fail and you're honest, 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sins. And He'll be faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness because Jesus died for them. That's our basis of it. We're not under this law with all these interpretations. We're people who know we're saved, who from our heart are trying to please God and be useful to Him. What's wrong with that? Every minute, every day. That's Christianity. Well, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. You know, and sometimes we struggle with this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and serve His commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Something's wrong if they're burdensome. Usually it's our heart. Because we don't want to do it. Isn't that where it comes? That's when it gets burdensome. The commandments are all given to benefit you. The same God who gave them the Sabbath to rest on as a holiday. The same God gives you and me commandments. They're not for our worse, they're for our betterment. When He wants you to forgive, or when He wants you not to let the sun go down in your anger, is that not beneficial to you? It's beneficial if you're mad at your wife. Because that's probably going to come back to haunt you about supper time. You know. All the commandments you get. You know, God says, be anxious for nothing. You know, and let your requests be made known to God. That is for your betterment, to let your worry go. God wants us to enjoy Christianity. Like all the commandments are not burdensome. They're designed for that reason. But if we misinterpret them, or somebody gets the power and wants to use guilt on people who are free through the blood of Jesus, if you'll submit to it, that will help you get there in the Church of Christ. You and I are trying to do the will of God. I'm like Jesus. I don't care about anything outside the will of God. I don't care at all. And I'm not bashful about saying it. If you and I strive to do the will of God, we have to find it. Because we're going to have to answer for our own souls. I'm not answering for you, and you're not answering for me. We have to work out our own salvation. And these people of the first century have been led astray for so long by the Pharisees. And they think religion is one oppressive system that puts guilt on you, costs you sin offerings, and you have to be on guard for every move you make because people are watching. Oh, I have enough trouble watching me without watching you. I'll help you if you need help if you're trapped. But we're here to help, not condemn. Well, you and I need to understand that we're involved in grace and compassion, and when we fail utterly, God hasn't changed. He wants to save our souls. He wants us to be better off. He wants us to be better Christians. Pharisees, that legalism stuff, was squeezing life out of those people. They thought God was like that. It wasn't even true. We read today in Isaiah 53, you want to see God? He's talking about the death of Jesus in detail there. I mean, Jesus goes quietly without saying a word. And He was going to whom the people, the stroke, was due. Due! You know, in the Talmud, it goes back to 536 B.C. to A.D. 70. You know why it stopped at A.D. 70? Because God wiped out Jerusalem. They acknowledge, you know, the Pharisaical situation ended up with a lot of people lost and condemned.
and they cannibalized each other.
Creators. Where if they really saw the intent of God's law, everybody could enjoy the Sabbath. If you needed, you're hungry, you're going on a trip, there was no 3,000 foot limit. It was a holiday. It was a time to rest, to be thankful, to rejuvenate. And you know, you walk out there the next day to go to work and what? You've been thinking about God and how He's blessed you? You know what they're thinking about after the Sabbath? Boy, didn't get caught. And I read those 24 chapters. There's no way you can remember the rules. There is no way. Which means you're going to violate them, and men, the people watching. Jesus is watching you and me. But not to condemn us. I mean, when He's on earth, you know, what you've done is wrong, but go and sin no more. If you do wrong, you do wrong. It's wrong. You know it. He knows it. But what He wants you to do is get up and do better. You need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.